You date the tape. This is February the 20th, 1993. And we'll be on the commander with Commander Soltec and Sam Russell of KTT, K-Talk Radio in Salt Lake City. And Dr. Ed Young will be sitting in for a few comments.
Yes, here folks for a magic elixir. One that will reverse the aging process. Being younger than their years. Welcome to Open Mind. This is a series devoted to metaphysical and spiritual topics. Open Mind is a weekly exploration of unseen realms, both within and beyond this dimension, which may prompt a reevaluation of many of our fundamental beliefs and institutions. Good evening, I'm Sam Russell, and you're in for a treat tonight. We are welcoming back an old friend we have had on this air many times, and very pleased to introduce once again Commander Hatton. Greetings, welcome, Commander.
Sam, good evening. Thank you for asking me back.
Well, we're very pleased that you were able to make it, and I would like, first of all, to ask if you indeed do speak for the holy white light of the one Creator God for the highest and best good of all mankind.
Yes, thank you for asking. I come in service only unto God of light.
Thank you very much, and I think for those who are new to your presence and so on, we should probably first of all indicate that your position is that of the head of the hosts of heaven. Could you kind of relate that please for us?
Well, that sounds a little bit hierarchy as a statement as you listen to it. But I suppose in your earth language, that's exactly who I am. That's who I represent. The hosts come in preparation for our teacher to return to your place. It is the time of the cycles that you are moving into, the time of the return and the reclaiming of what you would recognize as the kingdom of Creator. On your place, at least.
Yes. And we are told, of course, in the Bible and so forth, that the hosts of heaven attend earthlings at all times of transitions, and this is what we're facing at this particular point in time.
Yes, sir, and here we are.
And we're very happy that you are there, in fact. I think also it is good to describe the method of transmission for those who are new to the program, because I know that there is a point of confusion for many because they hear a female voice, and so would you relate? excuse me. Would you relate where you actually are located now and the method of transmission by which we are receiving your message?
Well, the craft which I attend is located almost directly above the China Lake area near Ridgecrest, California. My speaker is female, Commander Soltec, who will join us in a minute. His speaker is female. Her name is Callie. She is in Arizona. Don't be confused. These are simply translators. There is great confusion in the systems of communication. And at this point, I always wish for Commander Corton, who will also be joining us, but not this evening. He is beginning to communicate more freely with ones. He is the communications director, as a matter of fact. The way that we communicate is not mystical. It isn't even mysterious. You could best describe it as a computer pickup, functioning on a binary code system at a frequency. It would be a frequency that you would find in your weather satellite band of high frequency shortwave receivers. And these ones simply are able to translate those pulses.
And if anybody had a radio that would tune into those frequencies, they could actually hear the transmission.
Yes, but it would simply be tones.
Now, the tones, I understand, actually represent the universal communications language.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So there is a communications language by which civilizations throughout the universe would communicate using that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, your computer systems are basically, if you could analyze them, they are basically the universal language.
I see. Okay. And so basically, when people hear a female voice, they should not be confused and should then simply understand that this is a scribe, a secretary, if you will, whose purpose is to simply verbalize the communications coming through from you.
Absolutely. It would be very similar to Mr. Yeltsin. If you didn't speak Russian, you need a translator.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only way that we can communicate with the people.
Very good. Do you have an opening message for our listeners tonight, Commander?
Well, no, I'm open to whatever questions one might want to ask.
All right.
Since we have scheduled this, and I'm very, very appreciative of the opportunity to join in this particular session this evening, because I know that it was already set up for Antonios Soltek, our geophysical, head of our geophysical projects, to speak with and through Cali
right. This
evening. And I would field any questions that you might have regarding any subject that you might have. On the other hand, I think if you utilize the evening simply to query me about Pleiades or some other similar type of questions, that you're going to waste a tremendous amount of opportunity to get some incredible geography lessons.
Exactly. Plus, some updates on what is going on.
We would like very much to have just a minute to discuss what I know is uppermost in many of your minds, and that is the subject of Giondriana, which is basically the seed of life, which has now been given to you ones. And that might bear a little bit of discussion a little bit later.
Okay.
I have sitting with Dharma, Dr. Ed Young, who has very credible credentials, several doctorate degrees. He acts in the capacity of our chief editor of The Liberator. He also is the intermediary with Cali and Commander Soltek to this area, and usually does when reading, if you will, Commander Soltek's messages. He usually is that voice, and he sits here with us. So perhaps as we move along here, we'll be able to entertain some questions to him, at least let him make introduction voice-wise, so that persons who wish to later inquire of him, they might do so.
All right, that sounds good. We would appreciate hearing from him. The Liberator newspaper, by the way, for those not familiar with that, is a weekly publication which comes out. It's edited by Ed Young, as you just heard, and it is a publication of some between 35 to 40 odd pages every week, full of really wonderful, incredible information. And we will tell you how to obtain a sample copy of The Liberator. I believe that would be available if people simply call an 800 number, and we can put that out a little bit later. We have on the other line, would you like to introduce Commander Soltek?
Only that he is our geophysical leader. He keeps tabs on your place. He is the one responsible for monitoring all of the Earth geophysical activities, especially as relates to our project and our mission. He's an exceptionally good teacher, and I think that you will find him most interesting. His name is Antonios Soltek. I call him Tonios.
Tonios.
And he may instruct you as to what you may call him. Soltec is fine. I'm sure that either term would be welcome to him.
Very good. On the other line, we do have Commander Soltec. Good evening, Commander. Welcome.
Well, good evening, Sam.
Very pleased to have you with us. And I would like to also ask of you if you speak for the holy white light of the Creator God for the highest and best good of all mankind.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. And would you please relate what your particular position is right now? Where are you located?
Well, I am with Commander Hatton on the Phoenix, and my station is that I am the field physicist of the command. We keep tabs, as Commander Hatton has already informed you, on the geophysical changes which are taking place on your planet, because you are going through a cycle of Earth changes of which your planet knows very little about. And so it is very important for the people that they know the truth of what is happening, because it is just not being told.
We get reports occasionally about earthquakes. I guess the earthquakes have to be almost into the sixth range on the Richter scale before they're large enough to make the news. It would almost seem that. But in fact, we understand that there's almost constant earthquake activity in perhaps the 3 to 5 range on the Richter scale. Is that correct?
Well, you have earthquakes that are taking place on a continual basis, and you are going to be very lucky to be able to find it, even in your newscast of any kind or any of your news media. It is one of those things that they are trying to keep from you. But you have many earthquakes taking place. You have many that are in the 6-point range of your measuring that never even get reported, because this is not what they want you to hear.
That is what we're led to believe. There is said to be continual bombardment of the fault lines in Southern California, and this is leading up to one of the major changes that has been foretold, not only by seers such as Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce and Book of Revelations and so on, but even some modern-day seers who are now predicting that there's likely to be a very large earthquake not very long from now.
Well, yes, these things have been foretold, and as you say, many of your modern-day seers are predicting the same types of things. You have to understand that the closer you get to the transition, that the more open that the communication is going to be. There are many who are hearing. They sometimes do not recognize that which they are hearing or seeing. But as you near closer to these changes, many more will begin picking them up, because there are certain frequencies. And people are very sensitive to these frequencies. And yes, these things have been foretold for many years, from many of different legends and myths and religions, prophets, you would call them.
Tell them to leave the program.
It is happening as the things are taking place.
Relate what's going on right now, what appears to be imminent on the West Coast, imminent within maybe the next few months, according to many of the projections. The volcanoes evidently are beginning to reactivate in the northwest and in other parts of the Ring of Fire around the Pacific Plate. Perhaps you could give us just a brief picture of how the Pacific Plate is situated, how it works, and what is likely to take place in that Ring of Fire within the next few months, according to these predictions.
Well, what you have on your planet are a series of plates, and these plates are moving in different directions. Now, where these plates are coming together or separating from, you are going to have seismic activity on your plate, or you may also experience volcanic activity as the magma from beneath begins to come through. You have this especially where you have plates that are coming apart. And this is what is happening in the area down near the Easter Islands, which was reported in your news last week. You have two plates that are pulling apart from one another, and it is creating cracks and fissures below. So therefore, the magma is then squeezing up through these little cracks and crevices and fissures and producing this volcanic activity. Now, in other places, you have plates which are coming together. And in some cases, you have the plates which one is riding over the top of the other, causing the opposing plate to be pushed below. Now, this is what is happening in your Pacific Northwest. You have got three different plates in action up there. You have your Pacific plate, you have the North American plate, and then between these two, you have this little plate known as the Wanda-Fuca plate. And this little plate is actually being squeezed between the North American plate and between the Pacific plate, so it is going underneath the North American plate at that point. And it is putting pressure on those magma chambers which lie below. So this is what is going to cause the problem with all the volcanoes in that area.
And it's foreseen that those are very possibly going to reactivate then?
It is very possible that they are going to reactivate. Because as this plate pushes farther down and it's pressuring those chambers below these volcanic mountains, then the magma is going to build in pressure and be pushed upward. And when the magma is pushed upward, you are going to have a volcanic eruption. It is a simple fact of science.
The Pacific plate is a huge plate that extends, as I recall the diagrams, it extends northwestward along the Aleutians and then goes along, takes in Japan, the Philippines, and so forth.
Correction.
Correction. Mm-hmm. Please.
The Pacific plate does not take in the Philippines. The Philippine plate is isolated almost as the Philippine Islands.
Ah, okay.
Yes, that is correct.
And as the bombardment takes place along the San Andreas fault line on this eastern end of that particular plate, as the plate moves, if the San Andreas moves, that means the whole plate is shifting. Is that correct? That whole entire plate is going to move?
That is correct.
And so this has some very significant circumstances that the Japanese are going to have to look for. I mean, the problems potentially with Japan then are very, very, very significant if this Pacific plate begins to move. Not much is ever said about that.
Well, Japan is just about ready to lose it, if you would. There is so much activity going on over in that area that the entire Japanese land mass, the islands there, are of volcanic origin. And these are basically just the tops of volcanoes in most places that are extending out of the water.
And so
yes, there is going to be activity there, and there is at this point activity there with earthquakes, and as you know, at least two of their volcanoes have been erupted.
So there has been some significant activity in that area. That hasn't been reported very much, if any, in this area that I can recall.
Well, as I have told you, you're not going to hear this on your news. You have, usually in a 1 month period of time, you may have, in excess of 30 quakes that are in excess of the 6 points that you are never hearing about.
That many in excess of six?
Yes, that many.
That is really quite something.
This is, worldwide, but normally you just do not hear about them. Quite often they take place in the unpopulated areas, and these are just never reported. Even some that are in the populated areas miss being reported on your news because your news is so filtered before you ever hear it.
Yeah. All right, we do have to take a break, and when we come back, I would like to talk a little bit more about specific plates, because this one is the one which really has the greatest implication for us in this area. And in the most recent Liberator, in your article, Commander Soltec, you indicate that the Pacific Plate has entered a new geologic cycle, and I'd like to get into that in just a couple of minutes right after these messages. Next week, I'm very pleased to have on two lines, Commander Soltec and Commander Hatton. And also outside is my producer, Dee Riley, for this evening. And if you have questions to address to Commander Soltec or Commander Hatton, then you know the numbers, 570-5855 locally, and speak with Dee, and we will address those questions to Commander Soltek and Commander Hatton. Commander Soltek, you were saying, or we were leaving off, that the Pacific Plate has entered a new geologic cycle, as you have indicated. Could you describe what this cycle is and what this can mean to us as we go through these next few months?
Well, when I say it has entered a new geologic cycle, this does not mean it has happened in perhaps your last 5 years. This has been going on for probably several thousand of your past years. However, as you reach certain points in time, you are going to begin to experience increases in activity, and that is what is happening now. You have many, many things that are occurring in this place. You have this plate that is moving, and you have it that is coming in contact with other plates. And as it passes over certain hot spots below the ocean floor, down into past your lithosphere, you pass over certain hot spots that come in contact with the magma that is lying below this lithosphere. And when a fissure or a ridge or a major fracture passes over this, you encounter seismic activity or volcanic activity as the magma is able to come up through. And this is what you're beginning to see. This whole area has been very active for many, many of your years. But by the same, you have this renewed activity at this time. This is all part of the earth changes that are going to take place. And this is why it's important that you understand.
Exactly. So that the idea of trying to predict this, then, is so that we can be prepared for the eventualities. As these earth changes occur in California, there are going to be some rather significant implications for us in this inland location.
Yes. I would like to make it quite clear that we do not deal in predictions. We are not soothsayers of any kind or readers of crystal balls. We simply take the facts of what has been, what is occurring, and we project them outward into time and take the best probability readings of what might occur. But you must understand that everything is subject to change at any time. So that nothing is ever truly carved in stone, yet these are the greatest probabilities as we see them at this point.
Some of the people who have been looking into the future by whatever means they have, well, there's one name in particular that comes to mind. Gordon Michael Scallion is said to channel through information related to earth changes, and he's one of them. And in this article in the Liberator, Commander Soltek, you indicate that they are seeing these changes occurring within the next 3 to 5 years, with some activity picking up even this year.
Well, have you not seen increased activity already this year? I don't know what else I can tell you other than the fact that the cycle has begun. You can judge by what has taken place in the last of your years and what is occurring right at this moment. And all the earthquakes that are occurring, you can check with those in California and you will find that their ground shakes almost continually.
Several of these individuals are actually seeing major earthquakes in California before May 9th of this year. And one of them, as you indicated in the paper here, is predicting an earthquake in excess of 8.5 on the Richter scale. And, of course, as you indicate, you're not predicting this yourself. This is simply information that you're relaying, which has been predicted by I think Gordon Michael Scallion, in this case, perhaps others.
Well, there have been others, and what I am trying to get across is the fact that truth comes from many sources. It does not come from just one source. No one has the corner of the market on truth other than God. And there are many who are hearing God, and there are many who are hearing what is going to take place. You must learn to be discerning. This is part of the lesson that must be learned at this point in time. This is part of your learning process, is to be discerning. There are, as I said, there are truths coming from many, many places. But it is up to you to look at these, and having gone through your lessons, and having this discernment to pick out that which is the truth and that which is not the truth. It is the time of the sorting that is taking place. We separate now the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, if you would. But each man must learn to discern for himself that which is the truth.
And this is part of the testing of we here in this particular circumstance. It is for us to learn to discern and to seek that truth that is within each one of us. In order to understand fully what is happening.
Well, whether testing is the right word, I would not really use that term. However, it is part of that which you must come to know. You have to come to a place of knowing a thing, which is different than just having it in your head or having it written down before you're reading it. It becomes a knowing, becomes a part of you. It becomes a fact. You understand what I'm saying, for example.
I believe so. Yeah.
May I have a turn?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt. That is a very good lesson that is being given there. But I would ask, before you move on away from the subject in point, that the curiosity of one's is coming from the information that is being spread, either in your paper, little bits and pieces that you're hearing, that you really need to have connected for you. You see, you cannot look at your globe and say, along this longitudinal line or along this parallel line, things are going to happen. You have to work from the puzzle of pieces which lie, which are your crust of your earth, but lie in invisible form, only breaking through in the form of fissures. When Tonio says that there will be all of these magma pools surfacing, you will connect that with the rash of volcanoes that they have discovered off of Peru and Chile near Easter Island. You have to look very carefully at that location. Realize that this volcanic activity is intensifying as those plates are being twisted. You see, the American plate, there is only north and south designation. There is the American plate. And as the Pacific plate has thrust northwestward, and the North American and South American segments have thrust westward, it has caught this little Nazca plate in the middle. And it has twisted it, both thrusting it northward and under the American plate, but pulling it away, rifting it, if you will, at the bottom. Now, you have to realize that you could follow up your longitudinal line, and you're going to hit somewhere around New York. So that doesn't make sense. So you must go to the puzzle underneath that you don't see, and that is the plate. As the Pacific plate is thrusting upward, you're going to get activity in the volcanoes along that rim of fire, which you're going to find includes, even if it's not on the same Pacific plate, that you will find as you move up the coast of California. As that splits and thrust and the pressure comes, it fractures the earth as it goes by, like a window pane shattering. Some of these fractures are very old, but you will find around the Landers area, where California has had the most recent quakes, and the Big Bear area outside Los Angeles, you will find multitudes of what they are finding now as new fractures. And the idiots, of course, are digging in them, and in some of them, they're setting detonations. And they fully plan to set bombs, that's a poor word, but that's exactly what it is, that they can detonate. They think they're telling you that it is to test those faults that they have discovered. Well, how do you discover a bunch of new faults? The same way you discover a bunch of new volcanoes. And as you watch the pressure of that shifting and winding, the wheel-like motion of that Pacific plate as it thrusts downwards, it is popping the Philippines loose. You'll be lucky, for instance, if those volcanoes don't literally destroy the Philippine Islands, and yet the landmass will be thrust upward. But it will be tremendous devastation to the Philippine Islands. And then as you move on along, as you drift down toward Australia, the reason that Australia is the preferred point for the elite underground facilities for survival is because that portion of the Indian plate is the least active. As you move northward toward the northern section of the Indian plate, it is already shoved under and created massive mountain ranges. So Australia, even with its massive magnitude earthquakes that you never hear about, 7 and 8s in that outback region, it's still more stable than anything along the Pacific plate. And, of course, is affected by the Pacific plate, so you will have a lot of activity in that area. But that's what the elite have chosen as secure placement for their own facilities for survival. Now, Soltec may wish to comment on that, but I was reading a lot of questions as it got a little distracted from the point.
Do you have any further comments, Commander Soltec?
Well, it's just what Commander Hatton says, of course, is absolutely correct. This is why he is the commander. He is much better at the speaking than I am. But, yes, everything that he says is absolutely correct, and that Philippine area is, and there are so many pressures that are...